Welcome to week two of the Neighboring Toolkit Sunday School Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson. And this week, we're looking more closely at one of the three key ingredients of neighboring, that is, relationship. Again, most of the content for this recording comes from the podcast, The Neighbor Next Door. So occasionally, Adam and I will reference other episodes of that podcast. If you're interested in hearing that podcast, you can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. And now, without further ado, relationship. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and I am joined once again by my colleague and neighboring, Adam Barlow Thompson.
That's right, I am here. Presence. We want to layer into the podcast feed some episodes about some of the kind of key principles that shape how we understand neighboring. And so the right up front, the first one and the obvious one for us is to share with you, the listener, the three ingredients of neighboring. Which we, you know, we have been working on this for a while. Those ingredients list, I think it grew at one point to nine.
It did, yes. It was massive.
This is what happens when you work with Matt. You come up with like a solid thing and then he takes it and 2 weeks later quadruples it in size. And it's, then,
right?
Then you weed it back and edit a little bit and you end up with something better.
Yes.
But that first couple times where he quadruples it, it does make you kind of want to crap your pants. So, because it's like all of a sudden the work is really, you know, there's a lot of it. Some.
Yeah.
But now we have three ingredients.
There we go. What?
And they are abundance, relationship, and joy.
Yes. And for this episode, we are looking now at relationships. Like all of neighboring, there's an aspect of relationship that makes you say, do we have to talk about this? I mean,
right, sure.
Isn't it obvious?
Like, isn't being a good neighbor necessarily part of relationship or vice versa?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So why do we have to talk about this?
Yeah, Adam? So we mention off and on that we come at this from a perspective of rooted in Christian faith. And so part of what we believe is that we are created to be in relationship and that God is relational. And even if you're not Christian, we can see through research that relationship is built into our DNA. And it literally helps you be healthier when you're in relationship.
This week's scripture is one of my favorites. It is a beautiful and paradoxical invitation from Jesus, stated in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. There, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What I hear in this passage is an invitation from Jesus to move beyond religion and into a relationship. This relationship is an interactive relationship in which God can speak to us, can guide us, and can sustain us through the Holy Spirit. Eugene Peterson captures this well in his interpretation of the passage that's found in The Message. There, he writes it this way. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that amazing? I love that passage. That is exactly the type of life I long to live, where I'm learning from Jesus the unforced rhythms of grace, and I'm not following a religion. It's all about my relationship with God. Now, last week we talked about the link between loving God and loving our neighbor. This week's scripture invites us to do life with Jesus, which sustains us as we begin interacting with our neighbors. I have no doubt that you will have neighbors that you disagree with, or neighbors that they just annoy you. In those moments, we can look to Jesus and prayerfully ask for guidance. It could be as simple as a prayer where we say, "Jesus, help me love my neighbor." And then just watch and see what happens.
So we have a couple different studies that we've pulled to share with you today. So the first one is a group of people in Appalachia, actually older men who are chronically isolated and dealing with health issues. And what happened, the experiment, they took half of the men and they gave them like informational material about aging and isolation.
Okay.
And that did nothing for them. They stayed the same.
Yes.
And then they took the other half and they sent out people who were just trained as listeners. And so like they would come to the home of the person who was isolated and they would just listen to them. And it was six sessions, 2 hours each. And they just listened. That's all they did. And the the measurements of health all were made better over that period of time.
With the ones that had the listeners.
Yeah, just from being listened to.
Yeah.
So like we just know like human connection helps us.
Yeah. I mean, and so I just want to hold the two groups up beside each other,
because
I think if you came to me and said, "Matt, we have this group of people who have health issues, chronic health issues. How do you want to solve
this huge problem?"
Right. Then I would say, "Well, maybe they need educating."
I have the best pamphlet just for that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I see pamphlets all the time. You know, with like this is how. And to see that it had so little effect on them. And then And then the simplicity of just listening.
Yeah.
And I think it's added irony that they didn't even actually talk about health issues.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, so it wasn't a nurse that was listening to
them. No, it was just like volunteers.
Yeah.
You know?
So like you and I could do that.
Like, yeah, like if you think of, you know, someone who lives in one of the eight front doors closest to your front door.
Uh-huh.
Be like someone like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Little nudge, nudge there, people.
That's right. Yeah.
With these ingredients episodes, I've got a little bit of like sting for the listener.
Yeah, you do.
Like, you know what? You all just get out there and do it. I don't understand. It's abundance relationship joy. Just go be happy. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah. So this one's really interesting. It's a little bit intricate, so stay with me here.
Okay. I'm going to ask questions help us not get lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the studies from the University of Chicago, and they had commuters, and they particularly went after commuters with the idea that commuting is like one of the like least enjoyable part of people's day.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm so far I totally agree with this study.
So they went after commuters who use public transportation, okay? And they had a group who they asked to just do the same thing that you always do. So that's like the control group. Okay. They had a group who they said do everything you can to not interact with a single person.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so
and then they had a third group that was mandatory to sit next to somebody and talk to them.
Okay.
And they had to sit next to they had to talk to every single person that they sat next to. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Which
so
is great.
Three groups. One, you do what you've always done.
Right.
Two, you cannot talk to or interact with anybody. And three, the third group, you must interact with every person that
Correct.
You meet. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And let me just say that if someone told me to get on a on a train,
yeah,
and visit, or a subway, right? And visit with every single person.
Yeah.
I can feel tightening in my chest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That sounds miserable.
That's exactly how the people felt as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
And then they asked that group, they said, so how many people, when you talk to these people, how many of you think people will talk back, like engage in conversation with you?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I mean, not very many.
So actually it was 50%, which is not, I mean, they were like, yeah, okay, 50%. That's not too bad, actually. I thought it could have been less.
Yeah.
So what they found is that 100% of people engaged in conversation.
Wow.
And 100% of that group said that their ride was more enjoyable because they engaged in conversation with other people. And the people who experienced solitude had the opposite effect, right? So like they had a least enjoyable commute because of that.
Yeah.
So I just want to read the like little conclusion thing here for you because it summarizes it well. So commuters on a train into downtown Chicago reported significantly more positive commute when they connected with a stranger than when they sat in solitude. I'm going to go a little bit further here.
Okay.
So this pattern of results demonstrates a severe misunderstanding of the psychological consequences of social engagement, which that's a lot of big words.
Right.
To basically say, like, we think it's better to be alone.
Yeah.
And in reality, when we actually practice, it's the opposite.
It is the opposite.
Even if it's with strangers that you never see again because you're just, like, on the train.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty fascinating stuff.
That's really fascinating.
And I mean, this is not research-based. This is Adam's interpretation of the human being.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, there's something I think still, like, about our evolutionary makeup that's, like, don't go engage strangers. There could be risk and danger there. Right. And that part of our brain that's built to just protect us is keeping us from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then every single time, it's been proven again and again through research, through my own personal experience, that when you go talk to people, things are better. It's more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And so for me, like I think about that with when Ashley, my wife, and I go out, because she's always talking to strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, don't do that. That's they're going to not like that. Stop. But I mean, it really is more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we had this crazy conversation with this woman at the grocery store about buying Lunchables for our kids. And it was hilarious and enjoyable. And like going to the grocery store is misery for me.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was fun. And I remember it. Uh-huh. Whereas I, you know, don't remember most trips to the grocery store.
Right.
So,
right.
So what we're trying to say here is we are built for relationship. Whether you come at that from a religious perspective or just a like scientific perspective or both, like we are created to be in relationship, and we do better as humans when we seek that out.
I noticed one day I was driving along and I saw this bright pink building on the side of the street. Really caught my eye. I had not noticed it before. I was like, what is that? So I slowed way down. And as I drove past, I saw that it was a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I want to reach out to all the good things in my neighborhood, because that's valuable to us. And so the next time I had a chance, I went back to this bakery. And as I pulled into the parking lot, I was intimidated a little bit. Like, what am I going to find in
that
here?
That same tense... Yes. Pressure in the chest.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's, like, clearly when you get in there, it's going to be you and whoever's working there.
That's right. That's right. Not like tremendous dread or anything, but just, you know, like, okay, this could be really awkward.
Yeah.
It's just that awkward feeling.
I think I've said this before. Matt is awkward.
It's not me.
Well, it's not you, though.
When you say that, you're saying it is me. I'm saying it's not me.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I just think that I think many people feel awkward at times.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same feeling of, like always, of trying to move people toward relationship. That's because you're not just going in to buy baked goods.
Well,
you really
true.
Would like to form a relationship with whoever's in there.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. So I walk in and I meet the owner and baker. Now, this place, it's called Brianna's Bakery. They're on Facebook. You should check them out. I walk in and meet Nefa, and she owns the place, and she's the baker there. So I walk in, and I'm like, I don't know what I should try. Like, I'm just checking this out. And she immediately just welcomes me in. And she comes out, and she starts slicing off samples of, she's like, oh, well, this is really good. You should try this.
Right.
So by the time I'm done,
my
hands are full of free samples.
Yeah.
I've paid for nothing. And I loved it. Like, it was so much fun, right? So immediately, like, I start telling everybody that I know, you've got to check out this bakery. The owner is awesome. She's very generous.
Right.
Catherine was super excited as well. So we start going down there on a regular basis. And part of it is, obviously, it's a bakery, so everything in there that Nefa makes is amazing.
Right.
But also, we connect with Nefa. Like, there's a sense of friendship that forms there.
Yeah.
And because of that friendship, like, we want to do everything that we can to, like, support her business, and we want to see her do well. And now I don't think of her as the neighborhood baker who I'm getting to know. I think of her as my friend who also happens to own a bakery in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's just this wonderful shift. And it's really joyful. Like, it makes me super happy to have that connection to her.
So your challenge as the listener is to think about your neighborhood, the 8 front doors closest to yours, and to pick somebody that you want to go, that you want to try to seek out and actually learn their name, the first step in that. And don't go, you know, don't like challenge yourself to pick the neighbor who you are most like scared of or don't like. Right. You don't need to start off with that kind of effort. You just pick someone who maybe moved in, you know, 2 years ago, and you just never went over and said hello. Or a neighbor who maybe you learned their name when you first met them, when you first moved in, and now 5 or 6 years later, you think of them as the person who drives the white car.
Right, you can't remember their name anymore.
No, I mean.
yeah, that really happens.
Yeah, so just go, what would it take for you to go learn their name? If you need tangible steps on how to do that, you can check the 52 Weeks of Neighboring. There's a whole bunch of ideas there. So, I guess that's the end of the episode.
Apparently so. We seem to have run out of material.
If you want to learn more about Good Neighboring, you can always go to neighboringmovement.org, where we have lots of resources, including the 52 Weeks of Neighboring and curriculum that you could use in your churches and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. And if you're liking this podcast, please star it, like it, share it. And if you go to, you can subscribe for this podcast through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and others. There's probably more that I just don't know about, but those 4 I know.
Yeah. So be sure to subscribe. And also, if you wouldn't mind sharing it with somebody, we would appreciate that as well.
That's right. So this podcast has been a production of the Neighboring Movement. It has been labeled and edited by our fantastic intern.
Number 5.
Christopher Swanson.
Yes.
How dare you call him?
Got you to say his real name.
I'm deleting that part out. And the music that you hear in the background was created by Brutal Bear.
The part of the Brutal Bear that is the best. Let's just be honest. Digging the hole.
That's right.
The hole. Deeper.
Deeper and deeper.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.